This episode of TMS is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create a professional website, blog, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 20% off your new account, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code MORNING9. Coming up on TMS, Brian brought the animals into the ship 2x2.
There's a lot of internet video to watch this morning.
Holy water is pretty freaking gross.
Wash down that horrible infection with a piping hot burrito.
Insidious 2 takes down all comers over the weekend.
Finally, Miss America is crowned and we can move on with our lives.
Or as I wrote, crowed. Eric's app review.
Major spoilers.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I want the one with a bear. What do you want, Daddy?
I want Toasties. Now. Post-10's new assortment has all the I want cereals.
I want the ABCs.
Start your day a little bit better. Get all the I want cereals. New Post-10.
I've been shaving it since the late 90s. Come on and stream.
This is The Morning Stream. We're gonna need a new plan.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Morning Stream. It's TMS. That's short for The Morning Stream. It's the morning podcast / radio show produced here at the Frog Pants Network.
So you don't have to.
Right. Hey, wait a minute. Wrong show.
Oh, wait. Can you use that?
I don't know. We got to check with the lawyers. We have a team of them, of course, waiting all the time.
For the rest of us.
Yeah, for the rest
of
us.
The morning show for the rest of us.
It's me. Oh. It's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott. How are
Man,
you?
Man, you sound good today. We'll get into why in a second. Because, holy, you really do. You sound just amazing. Like, here's Brian the other day. I'm not going to play the one you think. Hold on. Here's Brian the other day.
Gumdrops with balls.
Now, it's not bad. Mm-hmm. You know, that sounds like you talking about things.
Sure, sure.
Let's see. Here's another one. How about this one? Nope. Not that.
Nah. I've been shaving it since the late 90s.
A context-free voice clip from Brian. But today you sound extra crispy, extra clear, and extra... I feel like I'm falling into an extra commercial.
You're extra clever with an extra long tan.
Extra something so you don't have the thing. How does it go? I don't know the rest of that song. But you sound really good today. And part of me is like, whoa, how's Brian doing? Colorado has been swimming in the flash floods and the rain and the whatnot. And you guys have just been buried and no one's drinking water. And like all the stuff you needed when the fires were raging is now happening all at once.
Now we're getting in excess, right?
Yeah, so it's crazy.
It's a bad order to get it. You want the rain to soak the ground before the fire.
Right.
Not the rain to come after the fire has pretty much, you know, taking everything out, and then you get the mud and you get the flash floods.
Well, Brian, it is an inconvenient truth that we have to deal with. And,
it is. Now, where I'm at, super safe. Like, we're fine. There's, we've got a creek somewhat behind us, like a little, not really even a creek. It's usually an empty ditch. It's, there's a term. I don't know what the actual term is, but it's like used for drainage. If there's runoff, then it goes through this ditch that's behind our house.
Ghetto river, and we'll call it. Ghetto river.
A what?
A ghetto river.
Ghetto river,
yeah,
sure.
Why not?
And that thing has been flowing steadily, not to the point that the banks are overflowed. Yeah, culvert. That's probably a good one.
Culvert.
Culvert.
Is it really? That's a word?
Yeah, that is the word. That's the word I was trying to remember. Yes.
I don't know if I've ever heard of a culvert.
It's like a ditch that is put there just to kind of keep runoff from overflowing. Like, we've got a reservoir up the way.
Sure.
And if there's a tremendous amount of rain or a flood or whatever, the culvert is where all that water goes, and then it gets swept away down.
Culvert. That's a thing irritating old men use in conjunction with words like vehicle. And I can't even think of anything else.
Okay.
Transient. Sure. Like those words. I hate those words. Anyway, it's fine. Culvert, fine. Culvert City, California.
Culvert.
Got it.
Yeah, yes.
So this has all been coming down. Things have been nuts for you, and I was a little bit worried. I'm reading on the news. In fact, I got one of those alerts on my phone that said, "Beware of flash flooding in your area and many parts of Colorado."
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah. And I'm like, well, I'm 5-6 hours from there. What are you telling me?
I'm safe. What are you talking about?
So the things you've had to deal with, like, you know,
how about water and like sewage and all that? Everything okay?
We have had a ton of water. I mean, our lawn, there, you know, been standing pools in our lawn and stuff. We've got I built a French drain a few years ago, and that's been alleviating a lot of it, sending some of it up to the front, sending some of it out to the back, out towards that culvert, actually. So things have been okay. We were getting some collection on the side of the house that I was kind of worried was going to start coming down into our window wells, because a basement with window wells.
That's where you are right now, right? Aren't you down there right
now?
That's
where I'm at. Yep, exactly.
Yeah, can't have that.
So I took a shovel and just dug a small enough hole to get the water out. And where did it go? Promptly went right into the neighbor's backyard. And we can look through the fence and see big pools of water in their backyard.
These are the folks behind you?
Yes. Okay. To our side. Okay. Yeah.
Are they the ones that gave you the
internet?
They're
not the ones. Okay. No. So that's the other thing. So Baja Broadband, which we've been customers with for a while, because of the flooding has been taking out roads, just washing away roads, and we've been seeing it on the news constantly. These asphalt roads just getting completely wiped out by these rivers and you know, impromptu waterfalls and things like that. And apparently in Millican, Colorado, which is easily a couple hours away from where we live, apparently it was enough to wash out a fiber cable.
Ooh, goodness.
That took out our Wi-Fi Friday, right about noon, wiped out our broadband. Now, why these guys don't have redundancy when they talked about on their website, oh, we've got redundancy, and why, you know, entire networks of Estes Park and Boulder and Arvada and Table Mountain all get wiped out when one fiber is cut. And
that,
like I said,
it doesn't seem very redundant to me.
It does not at all.
Hmm.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So I've been without Wi-Fi or been without broadband for a while. And my neighbor has Wi-Fi, and we've been kind of able to slurp off his network a little bit. But it's not great. You know, there's enough distance that
sure.
It was passable for watching Tomb Raider for Film Sack. But anything beyond that, I would not be able to be on this show trying to just do the Wi-Fi from his.
It'd be like trying to talk to Justin Robert Young for more than 10 minutes.
Exactly.
While he's
on an airplane.
Right.
So I talked to him yesterday and said, hey, you know, is there any way I've got this big spool of cable that I bought when we bought this house that I used to do a lot of wiring inside the house, a lot of the Ethernet wiring inside the house. Is there any way we could stretch a cable temporarily across? And he's like, oh, yeah, no problem. And so, you know, we get out the drill and he's like, you know, this is the neighbor that that I talk about frequently on the show that Justin Robert Young has met. And
I love this neighbor. It's my favorite neighbor stories of all time.
He's, you know, when anybody comes to town, it's almost like I want to make sure you see this, hang out with this couple, because they are entertaining and delightful. And,
they are the Casa Bonita of flesh and blood human beings.
They really are. It's like coming to Colorado, you must see that, that, that. So yesterday, and he had to go out to a Packer game. So we like kind of did a rush job, but we took a wire, ran Ethernet cable from his office all the way. And I showed you a video of this. Comes out his office on the second floor of his house, down over a little roof, a little bay window that they have, then down around along the swimming pool, behind it, underneath the fence, and then into a hole that I drilled in my house.
Yep, it's awesome. Blue Cat and, 5 just all over the neighborhood.
I know. It's like the most obvious bright color of all.
Yep.
But so I'm basically piggybacking on his internet until Baja Broadband gets their stuff together.
Yeah.
But the great thing about this is that he's got his bandwidth is double what we're getting when we get from Baja Broadband.
Right.
So he's got plenty to spare.
And you sound great today, man.
Yeah, and the quality is fantastic.
And he's not in there. It's not like he's in there right now this morning torrenting porn. Who does that in the morning? Nobody.
Right. No, I wait till afternoon to do my hardcore porn, as you put it.
Yeah, we'll not repeat the other word I put in there. But yeah.
No, we won't.
No. PG. But, PG for the kids.
Exactly. But anyway, so it's been great. I've had to go around because I can't. Because I'm on the same network and the same subnet, anything that was hard-coded with a specific IP address or looking for a specific Wi-Fi network, I've had to switch around. So my camera, my PS, my little Vita, my DS, all this stuff, I've been going around. It's like, okay, Apple TV, connect that to the new network. Okay, iPads, connect those to the new network.
Sure. All the important stuff.
all the important stuff. Hey, you know what? I know there are people out there without power, without water. I feel bad for them, but right. But I got my stuff.
Listen,
going.
Listen, the cards you've been dealt are the cards you've been dealt. So you are dealing with the deck that you've got. Others have a way worse deck. Some people have a perfectly fine deck. We're not having any. We're having all kinds of flood crap happen in and around the state, but none of it is coming near me to any degree worthy of worrying about it at all. In fact, it's been a weird convenience because we were worried we'd have to have the sprinklers on a lot while we're doing house showings and stuff. We haven't had to have them on because the rain just comes down and waters my lawn and it runs off and it's, you know, so. So, yes, I've been dealt a better deck than you. You've been dealt a better deck than some guy whose basement is under 4 feet of water.
Exactly.
Welcome to the world, the way the world works. So,
exactly. So. And I feel bad for those people. And, you know, we're doing things we can do to help them, Red Cross and donations and stuff like that. Sure. And of course, you know, if there's anybody out there who's suffering through this stuff and you're listening to TMS, I hope we're, you know, at least making this horrible time a little bit more entertaining.
Yeah, and we hope you have internet so you can pull down the show and hear what we have to say. If you need some sandbaggers, Brian's all set. Just give him a call. He'll load up.
That's right. Take care. I'll lay down and block the water, just whatever you need.
We had Utah had what it called the flood of 83, and Salt Lake City was especially hit by this. And in 83, there was so much runoff from the previous winter, tons of snow from the previous winter, so much runoff, and that's how we get our water here in the valley. The mountains, you know, all that water runs off into reservoirs, and then they store it and goes through rivers or whatever, and then that's how we all get our water supply. It's kind of nice and cyclical, and nature kind of does its job, and we do our bit and everything else. And in 83, I was really young, and I never will forget the day that three things happened. Two days previous, the river near us, we had a river right near our home, was cresting, coming real close to the top. And I watched them pull a naked 35-year-old man out of the river.
Oh, yeah. I remember you've told this story. Yeah.
He was buck naked and dead is the important part.
Oh, geez.
And that I had a real hard time with that. Like, bugged me for weeks and months. And even to this day, it still kind of haunts me a little bit. Like, people who are worried that movies and TV desensitize us, don't worry about it so much. If you're normal and you've got and real death bothers you, chances are it still does. Movies aren't going to change that because that still bothers me. But anyway, I remember like it was yesterday. Maybe I've said this on the show before, but it was like a Sunday and everyone's at church, right? Doing the Sunday business. You're just doing your thing.
Right.
And somebody got up on the podium right in the middle of church and goes, "All right, everybody go home. Put on your jeans and your crappy shirts. And meet us at the river because it's about to go over." So everybody was so excited because we're all kids, right? Everyone get out of church. It was like a snow day at school. We were so excited.
You didn't realize this means work.
Yeah, totally. So we went home and got dressed in our what my mom called dungarees. She probably also would like to use the word culvert if she had a chance.
Oh, my God.
I hate that term so much. Anyway, so we get all our crap clothes on and we go down to the river and we spent an entire Sunday. The whole community shucking sand into bags, throwing those bags into piles and stopping and creating like our own artificial rivers that would run through the neighborhood and miss homes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was bad. There was a river running down State Street in Salt Lake City right in the middle of town.
Oh, wow.
Normally a trafficked, you know, road, and it was a freaking river. And my Korean brother, Matt, almost got swept away down the whole thing. And this little brown kid flying down the river. Anyway, it was a fantastic year, 1983. Never forget. It would be 1 year later that all the greatest movies of our time would come out. So,
no kidding, right?
It all worked out fine.
Good thing it wasn't that year, 1984, and then you would have missed those movies because you were out there pitching in for the flood and watching dead guys get pulled out of it.
Exactly. But I would say today more than ever, back to the point, you sound like you're right next to me in a chair.
Cool.
Like just cool. Like you're and in
the everything's house. Good here, folks. Thank you for, you know, people have been tweeting and Facebooking. Totally safe where we're at as, you know, right now. And it looks like, according to Becky Ditchfield in the Weather Center, looks like things are going to be clearing up this week as we get make our way towards the weekend.
Well, thank you. What's her name? Becky Ditchfield?
Becky Ditchfield.
Ditchfield. Yes. Wow, that's a great name. And it also,
middle name should be Culvert, right?
Yeah,
Becky Culvert Ditchfield.
Becky Culvert Ditchfield. Watch your vehicles in the rain. All right. Well, that's great. Also, a quick bit of news or a notice here that if you like the video content the Frog Pants Network is currently churning out, then you'll be happy to know that on Thursday, after this show aired, we posted the very first episode of The Instance Television, which was a whole lot of fun. It's basically a look at 5.4. It was a good week to do it because that was the week it all landed. And if you're into World of Warcraft at all or into Blizzard, that might be fun for you to watch. You can find it on its own channel on YouTube. Best way to get there is just to go to theinstance.net/TV. And that first episode is up. There'll be a new one this week as well, if it doesn't kill me first. took a bunch of footage of us over the weekend playing last night.
Oh, yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a good time last night. Nice to make some progress. So far, flex rating, it's totally up my alley. Loving it.
Yeah.
Digging it.
And I think it's... from what I hear, it's just that those first couple bosses are relatively easy. I mean, it's a 14 boss raid.
Oh, it's a beast.
Yeah.
It's a beast.
So there's going to be plenty of content. So I guess, you know, it makes sense that they'll ramp you up slowly. But
and everyone said that trash was going to be real bad. It wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. It was short. Got through it.
No, and I think even the third boss, we've got the rhythm of this thing. We can figure it out. It'll be, you know, we'll have that guy down Thursday.
Yeah,
so
we'll use the rhythm method. It's fantastic. So watch, check that out. Instance TV. And also yesterday put up a new Frog Pants TV where I played for the first time Peter Molyneux's Goddess, which is G-O-D-U-S. It's a god game, kind of weird strategy overhead, populist style game. If you're familiar with any of his old games, I'll probably feel right at home here. Played that on Frog Pants TV, which you can find at frogpants.com/TV.
Cool.
There you go, everybody. Lots of good stuff to take in and listen to and have. Talk about a new film sack later in the show.
Yeah.
It's called Daryl because he has things to say about Star Trek. I got a question for him.
Okay.
Big one.
A trivia one or another question?
Just a hard question.
Okay.
Just a rough bit of asking. Here you go. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
Another Way Around Life and Gaming Podcast Deluxe. Visit awaycast.com to experience video commentary, live streams, interviews, and of course, the Awaycast weekly podcast. The Awaycast runs regular contests with loot giveaways and will keep you humored and enlightened both in life and in gaming. You'll laugh, you'll learn, and you'll come back for more. So be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and get in on the fun by finding Another Way Around. That's awaycast.com.
Daryl, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a funny sound clip of you. Here, check it out. Here's one right here where you say this. There you go.
Oh.
I like that. See, that's pretty good. And then I got a longer one.
Oh. Oh, that's tender.
Yeah, see? The best part is, I think
it takes a big man to handle a tender chicken.
That's right. I think you were talking about chocolate, though, which is a weird way to refer to it.
We were eating the... Well, it was. It was very soft, that chocolate we had on Thursday.
Yeah.
It was squishy.
It was squishy. I'll give you that. Yeah, you can take that.
It's a freebie right there for you.
Freebie. All right. I want to play these in succession because these are fun. So listen to this here. Were you shaving it when the boy was young?
I've been shaving it since the late 90s.
Licking Loki's horn.
Gumdrops with balls.
And it just goes worse from there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if there's a pig anus, he'll lick it.
Who needs freakish lemon, right?
Yeah, I'll make my own mashups in real time.
Damn right.
Take that, freakish lemon.
We need freakish lemon.
I agree. Of all the lemons we need, it's him. Daryl, good morning. It's good to have you back. Quick question for you here. I watched, or started watching for the first time. It's taken me forever to get to it, but I started watching The Captains, directed and hosted by Bill Shatner, William F. Shatner III. And that's where he spends an entire film interviewing each of the other Star Trek captains, including Chris Pine from the movies, the new movies. And so he sits down with Kate Mulgrew, sits down with Avery Brooks, and so on, everybody, Patrick Stewart, whatever, all of them. And so far, so good. But here's the question I have for you. Everybody had warned me and said, oh, wait until you get to the Avery Brooks part. What a weirdo that guy is. So far, and I'm only about halfway in, so far, he's fine. I don't know why everyone thinks he's so weird. He's a little chill, and he's a little bit zen-like and loves his jazz, and, you know, he seems like a pretty cool cat, but he doesn't seem crazy to me in the least. So you've seen this. What am I looking for? Why am I not seeing the thing, all the crazy everyone keeps talking about? Does it come later? Maybe it comes later.
Maybe it does, or maybe you're in the same park with the nuts.
Maybe. Yeah, I was going to say. And that occurred to me. Don't get me wrong. It occurred to me. I went, well, maybe he seems fine because I think this is all fine right. And I'm in the nut.
Exactly. You don't crazy doesn't recognize crazy.
No. No. But he's fascinating me so far. Like I think he's the most... him and Mulgrew? And maybe Bakula. Well, I don't know. Maybe everybody but Shatner seems to be pretty cool with that time and with what they learned from that. And you know, I really dig on listening to Kate Mulgrew talk about her time as Captain Janeway. She's very, she's a very interesting person to listen to outside of the show. And that's fascinating to me, but the bits with Avery Brooks have been fine. He's just kind of chilling. He looks like a jazz man. He's playing the piano and singing and improvising, and he's not bugging me at all. So anyway, I'll get through it. I watched the first half while I jogged this morning, and I'll do the same tonight, but I was curious. And you liked it, right? You thought that was a cool thing.
Oh, yeah. I almost didn't watch it because I saw, William Shatner made this. Never mind.
Yeah.
But then I watched it, and it was actually really great.
Yeah, because sometimes you worry that his stuff are often kind of weird vanity projects. You know, you kind of question his motivation sometimes. This is the first time I felt like it was a thing where I felt like he almost got talked into it. Somebody said, Bill, listen. Here's what we got to do, buddy. And he was like, okay, fine. I've accepted. He's accepted his fate. You know, this is what it is. But when he photobombs, when he photobombed those people at that convention, I thought I was going to die. That was fantastic. Just walking in front of somebody's at a Star Trek convention, all dressed in Star Trek clothes. And William Shatner does a total Brian Ibbett behind him all and puts his face
really?
Out in the middle. Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, man. Awesome.
It was totally awesome. Anyway, Daryl, let's get to the meat of the subject here. Let's get to the main course of our Thanksgiving feast. You are a Star Trek nerd, and you're going to answer this hard trivia question about Star Trek. In the original series episode, The Ultimate Computer, the M5 is being tested on the Enterprise. Dr. Richard Daystrom had also created this computer system, the computer system on the Enterprise, or as he wrote, Enterprise. Spock tells Daystrom that his breakthrough with the M5 is even more impressive. With what other breakthrough by him? That's a terrible sentence, but we'll take it anyway. So Spock tells Daystrom his breakthrough with the M5 is even more impressive than with what other breakthrough by the same dude? Was it A, the duotronics technology?
Yes.
B, transporter technology?
No.
C, universal translator technology?
No.
D, sensor technology? Or
no.
E, Daryl already knows which one this is.
Technology. E, Google Glass.
Yeah. That'd be cool. I'd be all right with that. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Daryl seems to have an idea of what's going on here.
Yeah, he's kind of played his hand, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's projecting a little bit. So we're going to try this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
What's a foodie?
I have in my hands. Daryl, you got to find out what your equivalent is because I think they sent you something that wasn't spicy because they know you don't like it. But we have the Yagerlinx Land Yager. From who, Brian?
Well, you know what? If people sent me really hot stuff, I would eat it. I would die for the show.
Would you?
Oh,
you take one for the team? Yeah. Okay. All right. That's very nice of you, Daryl. I notice I never see you in any of those pictures in like wing shops on the wall of people who have eaten the ghost pepper.
Never up there. The wall of flame in the local.
Ooh, these smell good. I love me some good like jerky things.
Shoot. The scissors are over there where I was... cutting cable. I think I've got an X-Acto knife.
I used a loose X-Acto blade without the knife part.
Yeah.
That seems dangerous. Did I tell you the time swallowed one of these? This is a bad story.
An X-Acto knife
blade? So the blade, this exact size. In fact, I think it may have come, well, not from that same dispenser, but a very similar size dispenser. This exact size. I was working on, I don't know what it was, and this was just a few years ago. And I had this in my mouth, like this. I was cutting signs, and I went like this. So I hurt my mouth. I'm not about to recreate the problem, I promise. Because really what it came down to is absent-mindedness. So I had it on my lip, pointy end out, just the little part you'd latch onto on my mouth. And, oh my gosh, I'm kind of working away, and I'm so focused, I'm not paying attention. And in my brain said, that thing in your mouth is like a toothpick, and you're fine to move it around and do what you want with it.
Oh, my God.
So I kind of flipped it up back to my tongue. Panicked at what I had just done and realized that I just put this brand new sharp steel thing in my mouth and panicked to the point that it actually went further back and got back far enough to actually stick into the back of my throat. Mm. Like it's going to go down there. And you guys, I don't even know. I my life flashed before my eyes. I've got a blade in my throat. And I lean over like this. And I tried to calm down. And I leaned over and just kind of went, ha, ha, like that. Like I made that noise.
Oh, my God.
I went, ha. And it finally just kind of went, ha, and popped out and fell out on the
floor. Oh.
It was all about calming down. It was total, like as much as I hated it and regret it, it was a really interesting lesson about in the worst possible moment, you've got to find your center or it's going to get worse. If I would have panicked and freaked out, this thing would have horked down into my hoo-ha and they would be, I'd be on a table somewhere with four doctors and a suture.
That's the thing though. It was you. I mean, you know, seriously, you're not, you know, the stories you talk about, sometimes you don't exercise calm right away.
I don't. You're right. You're right. I'm not known for this. So there's the two times I've ever been able to really get my calm in emergency situations were that and the time that kid had that seizure in my house. And I went into emergency mode and was Mr. Leaderman. But outside of that, I usually kind of lose it. When Carter almost broke her neck, I couldn't deal with it. Like there's lots of things like that where I can't deal with it. But when it comes to this blade, I very calmly and collectively let it just kind of and let it fall out.
You'll also be performing next year at Nerdtacular 2014. Brian Brushwood will open for you.
Yeah, he's going to be the opening act for my sword swallowing. all right, so we're looking. This looks like a
Go ahead.
There's a phallic of quality to it.
Well, it's a sausage.
Yeah, what are you going to do? So, smells wonderful. Mm, I love this kind of stuff, especially when I'm outside. Don't you think jerky and things taste better outside?
Yeah, I agree.
Isn't that weird?
Summertime.
Yeah. Daryl, what's your equivalent? I forget what they sent you.
It's Landjager.
Oh, it's just not the spicy one.
Right. I guess not.
Okay, ours says hot, yours does not. So here we go. Yeah. Let's give it a try, see what we think. Who was it, Brian, who sent it?
Ken Cowan.
Thanks, Ken. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see how hot this is.
And don't even ask, Cleo. I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to lick it?
No.
You're not going to... Here you go.
Are you waiting to receive my limp penis?
Man, that's what it looks like.
Wow. Has it got a little bite on the end?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Daryl, you wouldn't like that.
Mine is so yummy and no bite.
I've noticed that... ever since strep, my throat is more sensitive to spicy things.
Hmm.
Isn't that weird? That's probably not weird. It's probably not weird. It's probably normal, but.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
How would Veronica describe what we just ate?
If I were her, and I'm not, but if I were her, she would probably describe it as this.
Mmm, sausage.
Probably like that.
Mm-hmm.
Add your favorite sausages.
Mmm, sausage.
There you go. I have two sausage clips.
With mine, it would be the longer version.
Oh, would it? Do I still have that?
Yeah.
I think I have that somewhere. How many hmms did I put in there? Here we go.
Mmm, sausage.
Nope.
Mm.
Nope.
Mm.
That was right. I can't find it. It's in there somewhere. All right. that was a lot of hmms.
That's a lot of hmms.
Thank you very much, Ken. We're going to keep digging at your stuff, and I will totally eat this over time. This is fantastic. Yeah. I love it. It's like a Slim Jim done right. It's neither slim nor Jim.
And it's not painfully spicy. It's just the right amount of spice.
Yep, it's perfect. Where is this from? Is it from...
Kent, Washington is where...
where I am right now.
Oh, really?
Maybe I should go down there.
You're in Kent? You should go check it out. It's Landjager. Yeah. Hello, Jan Landjager.
Take the tour, the factory, the sausage factory tour. You can see how the sausage is made.
You can go down there. I hear it's a real sausage fest in that place, so go check it out. Hey.
Oh.
All right, here we go. That wasn't Daryl, that was me. I love it that it sounds like you just... I can do that anytime it sounds like you're saying it live. I love it. All right, Daryl, back to the point. Birthdays. What are we doing? Birthdays. Give me a birthday.
Well, that would be Carl's... I almost said Carl's son, like that would mean anything to anybody. Carl Sagan's son is 43 today.
Oh, wow. So no direct Star Trek connection other than Carl Sagan obviously inspired a lot of
there
stuff.
Is.
Oh, there is?
There,
what?
There is. He was a writer. He wrote two episodes of TNG, and 5 episodes of Voyager, and he was the story editor on Voyager starting in season 5.
Wow, how old?
43.
Wow, he's just like our age, Brian.
Yeah.
The hell, man. Is he, boy, imagine having written that many Star Trek episodes by our age. That would have been amazing.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You think
yeah.
it helped? You think it helped him to have Carl Sagan as your dad? I'll bet it did.
It didn't hurt.
Yeah, it didn't hurt. If it didn't help, it didn't hurt.
Get a little background knowledge about space and crap. Yeah, hell yeah.
Space and crap, right.
Space and crap.
That's where Carl Sagan focused most of his time, was space and
crap.
That
was going to be the original title of Cosmos.
Right. Welcome to Cosmos.
Before PBS had him change it.
Welcome to Space and Crap. I'm Carl Sagan. And this is my giant helmet hair that I've had for a long time. All right, Daryl, back to the... Not to besmirch the good name of Carl Sagan. That guy's amazing. I love him. I love him. I do. I used to watch that Cosmos show almost as religiously as I watched any other piece of entertainment when I was growing up. That was amazing.
I love that
show. He kind of ruined Dandelion. He ruined Dandelions for me, though.
Why? What happened? What explain.
Because the spaceship was a dandelion.
Yeah.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Very first episode, he described this interstellar transport. And he took plucked a dandelion out of the ground and then blew it. Like, not the yellow one, but like when it's got all those little, looks like a little puffy things, looks like a little snowflake kind of thing.
Oh, weird.
Three-dimensional snowflake. And
I don't remember that at all. I think they dropped that later, didn't they? Or quit talking about it or something.
No, I thought he used that throughout the whole rest of the series.
Maybe he did. Anytime
he's flying through space.
Did he have a little ward, like a little Robin to his Batman with him the whole time?
No.
Do you know why?
No little guy like Scotty has.
Right. This is why I thought that. When I was in junior high, my art teacher, who was a huge influence on me, he created kind of a Mad Magazine style monthly thing that we all contributed to. So I did a couple of pages in it. I was kind of the Don Martin of that thing. And other people did long form stuff. And this one kid did a Carl Sagan thing that was like 5-6 pages long. And it was a huge story. And he continued it every month. And it starred Carl Sagan talking about space and crap, quote unquote, and had a little dude with him all the time, like a little kid. And I think I think we worked so hard on that magazine. I'm pretty sure I've transposed what that guy did with his little fan fiction with the actual Carl Sagan, which is a little bit weird, but I think that's what happened there. Anyway, Daryl, one of these days people are going to come and say they're going to have to cut your pay for all the time you've spent on this show in the morning there at the office.
Don't even mention that.
It just occurred to me as we were going along here. Anyway, so Daryl, back to the question. This Dutron, well, you already know. It's A, isn't it? Is it A?
Oh, no, I was going to say, yeah, it's A.
Well, let's find out.
Congratulations!
You're
a winner!
That wasn't supposed to play. Hey, yeah, you're a winner. Way to go. Duotronics Technology.
Don't call now.
He created the Duotronics computer systems used on the Enterprise. In this episode, Kirk does not like that he's being replaced by a computer. Here's a clip of Dr. McCoy arguing with Spock over the M5 computer. This should be good.
I don't like it, Jim. A vessel this size cannot be run by one computer. We are attempting to prove that it can run this ship more efficiently than man. Maybe you're trying to prove that, Spock, but don't count me in on it. The most unfortunate lack in current computer programming is that there is nothing available to immediately replace the starship surgeon.
Very funny. If it could, they wouldn't have to replace me. I'd resign, because everybody else aboard would be nothing but circuits and memory banks. You know the type, Spock.
Did you see the love light in Spock's eyes? The right computer finally came along.
What the hell? Weird edit. That reminds me, we're watching BSG again with the kids. I've mentioned it before. And Doc Cottle, I believe, on that show, the doctor who smokes.
Right.
I think he is more a direct homage to McCoy than any other doctor. Do you know what I'm saying?
Science fiction TV. Yeah. I totally know what you're saying.
He's very McCoy in a lot of ways. We were talking about it last night with my daughter. And
he's the real McCoy.
Hey, yeah, see what you did there. Way to go. Daryl. Who? Daryl. That's who we're talking to. You got it right. Way to go. Way to start off the week. Daryl's the Trek nerd. You can find him on Twitter at the Trek nerd. You can also find him on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. What are you guys doing this week? What's the show?
What is it? It's a TOS-1, and that's all I remember.
All right, perfect. You and Michael Gaines doing a thing no one remembers. It'll be great. Tune in, or be square. You can get it on iTunes and all. We're all good podcasts are found. Yeah,
I remembered it. It's I remember it's For the World is Hollow and I Have Touched the Sky.
Perfect. Sounds good to me. Gerald, give us a weird quiz about minerals or whatever the hell you do.
Okay. Is this a Star Trek alien or an actual mineral?
All right.
Muscovite.
Muscovite? Muscovite.
That I've heard. I've heard of that. And but how have I heard of it? Through Star Trek or through?
I'll go alien.
I'll say mineral.
It's a mineral related to mica.
Oh, look at you, Brian.
Yeah.
Look at the brain on Brad. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by The Instance, the World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. Airing weekly on the Frog Panther Network. Subscribe at theinstance.net today.
We had a great episode on Friday. If you want to hear us go deep on the lore of the game.
Yeah, no kidding.
Terpster goes off the rails. It's fantastic. Really, really enjoyed it.
Does he go?
A bunch of times. Like he does. That's what he does. He knows how to laugh weird. I got another one. Here's a good one. It's kind of addictive.
That's the best one.
Yeah. It's great because you feel like his esophagus breaking apart. He's laughing
There's
so hard.
There's something that went wrong with Terpster right there.
Right. By the way, grats to him. Engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very happy for him.
That's right. And this is the first episode where you've been able to talk about that.
Yeah. Yep. It's a done deal. She accepted. Her dad approved.
Did he go and get? Did he go and like ask her dad for?
He did total
that's
traditional.
The way to do it.
Yep, yeah. He did it. He got down on one knee. He took a bottle of champagne. He is like the quintessential wedding asking guy. Wow. And I'm really happy for him. As millions of women's voices were silenced. Guy. Yeah, totally. The quintessential. What is his power?
The proposal-nator.
What does he do? What's his power?
Able to get everybody's attention in a restaurant and have everybody applaud after 2 minutes of getting down on one knee. Excelsior.
It gets him on the Jumbotron every time. All right. Holy water is totally gross.
Really? All right.
Yeah. Or as I wrote, disgusting.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. An Austrian study. They did a little study there. Yeah. Yavorla. We are testing the water, the holy water. I assume they talk like that. I don't know. They studied holy water that tested 21 springs in Austria and 18 fonts in Vienna. These are all the holy water springs
Helvetica,
and fonts.
And New Times, New Roman.
Yes.
Comic Sans.
Comic Sans is the worst holy water ever. They found that samples contained up to 62 million bacteria per millimeter. That's according to ABC News reports. That's hardly holy, Brian.
That's not bacteria. Those are midichlorians.
Oh, right. You're giving everyone their powers. Got it.
Yes.
I'm no Catholic. I don't know the ins and outs, right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
But I do know that's gross. I can tell you that that's gross. That seems gross to me. Additionally, 86% of samples tested contained dangerous levels of bacteria commonly found in fecal matter, such as E. coli. From that old commercial. The guy in the hell.
Guy on a trumpet on a mountaintop.
But he's blowing it with his butt. With that much bacteria, you better be. You're better off blessing yourself with melted ice from a fast food restaurant in China. Water. Wow. Zing. Jeez.
Wow. Way to.
Jeez.
Way to piss off two different cultures and religions.
Yeah. Way to go. Water containing high concentrations of such harmful bacteria could lead to serious gastrointestinal disease if ingested, according to the study, which is published in the Journal of Water and Health. There's a Journal of Water and Health. That's a major threat to people who use water from holy springs as personal drinking water. Is that a I thought the deal was you just put it on your hands and...
Yeah, you're not supposed to drink the holy water, right?
I didn't think so. Who's a Catholic in the chat room? Anybody? I'm just pronouncing it really.
I like how you say it, yeah.
Catholic. Is anyone a Catholic? Scott, you can't heal people unless you infect them with massive amounts of bacteria first. Good point, Liam. Good point. If you drink it, you pee rainbows. Yeah. You know what? Let me tell you something about the chat room. You can't count on them for real information. It's not going to happen.
No. They're just like the fountains in this story. They're a fount of misinformation, the tadpole.
Rip Tor says, we're Lutheran. We don't drink that crap. That's awesome. All right. Well... Catholics or not, whatever. Don't drink the water. Sounds gross and terrible.
Yeah.
Let's see. Moving on. Frederico's. Oh, this is great. Frederico. It's a Mexican restaurant.
Okay.
They caused a huge citywide, and here are the fun words, bloody diarrhea outbreak.
Oh, geez.
And this is how they're going to get you back. They're offering free burritos as an apology. Seems like a pretty good compensation.
That's great. How could they go wrong, right? Yeah,
that seems about right.
Well, we tried to apologize and nobody took us up on it. We made the effort.
Speaking of bad water in your food, Frederico's Mexican restaurant, a restaurant chain, drew fire from the public and their anuses after its Litchfield, Arizona location caused an E. coli outbreak that gave 74 patrons, quote, grossly bloody bouts of diarrhea, unquote.
Our rice is cooked in holy water.
Yeah, perfect. Well, you know, a lot of Catholics in that part of Arizona.
Sure.
Catholics. A complainant said, I want to be a complainant one day.
Is there really a complainant?
Yeah, that's what I want to be. I want to be one. I want to go, Your tree has hung over my fence for too long. Who are you? I'm the complainant. Does that sound like a cool title?
It does. Now that you say it like that, actually, I'm kind of envious.
Your culvert is leaking on my lawn. I am the complainant. Let's see. This according to the UPI. But in the expert public relations move, Frederico's hired a cleaning expert and will offer free burritos on the 16th of September. To be fair, the Litchfield Park location voluntarily closed after the outbreak. Well, I would hope they did.
Mm-hmm.
It'll open again Friday or following plenty of Queen of Clean guidance and a lawsuit filed on behalf of the victims, according to the Phoenix News-Times. Here's the question.
What the hell is the Queen of Clean?
No. When is the best time to eat at a Taco Bell? And I've said this on the show before.
Yeah.
It's the day after they open. Yep.
Yes.
You'll never have better Taco Bell in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So do it then. Get your five tacos, go in the parking lot and chow them down. And don't go back after that because you got to wait for the outbreak, wait for someone to get you E. coli in their lettuce or their big cheese bag or whatever the hell happens every time, and then go day after. It's great.
That's today. So that's in Phoenix. I know.
Today's the day.
Spagnolo's. Yeah, I know the Spagnolo's are in that area. Are they in Phoenix or are they in a different part of
Arizona?
They're
in a town called Surprise, but I think it's only about 30 minutes from Phoenix.
All right. We need to figure out a way to send her down there to go get a free burrito.
Surprise, it's got more E. coli in it. This is a video of something going on here. Oh, and the Queen of Clean. Let's see what's going on.
For Newsy, I'm Logan Till. This story is not for the weak of stomach.
Okay,
yeah,
we just told the story. We don't need your help.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was that was she playing Dig Dug?
Is that how it goes? That is how it went. But then it would stop if you stopped. That game, dude. What a stupid game. Check this out. Queen of Clean.
Hi, I'm Linda Cobb, the Queen of Clean, a New York Times best-selling author and former owner of a large disaster restoration.
Large, and I also smoke 20 packs a day of Winston's.
Queen of Clean.
That's right. I'm 74, but you clearly can see these boobs are fake. These are fake boobs in this video. Oh, yes. There's no way these are this shuppled at 75. No way.
Is the queen of silicone, too? Is that?
There's also no way this hair is my real color.
Oh, jeez.
Or actual hair. This is a fake piece of hair that I just put on
my
head.
Really playing this up. So, like, I'm looking at the ad now, and it's like, hey, free food and a visit by the woman, you know, who said that we're a dirty place and she's going to come and say that we're okay.
I think that's the only way they get, through this.
Yeah.
You know? Joseph Gordon-Levitt won't admit he's gay. What? Sorry, it's another thing that just popped up. He's not gay, is he? Is he gay? He's not gay.
I don't think he is.
Well, it says here.
But he won't admit it. Why would you just admit it?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt talks gay rumors, Don John, in Out Magazine. I saw a preview for his movie. It looked interesting.
It does look good.
It looks, whatever.
If he's, you know, he'd make a great gay.
He'd make a perfect gay dude.
Yeah.
Go for it. This is how this works. He's smart. He's clean. he's good looking. He takes care of himself.
Exactly.
If
he ain't gay, he's metrosexual for sure.
And he seems to have handled the transition from child to adult actor just fine. All these things are nice gay traits. I'm going to go ahead and make some positive gay stereotypes, all right?
There we go.
He said it would be really tacky if I had to talk about this, he says. Okay. Would it be, though? Mm. All right. Well, whatever. Mm. Look, if you're gay, just come out.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it. What's the deal? But you can go to the third rock from the sun.
All right. No more diarrhea. Let's move on. Squarespace. Squarespace.com is sponsoring this show. Oh my gosh, dude. I love Squarespace. I really do. It's so freaking easy to use and make what you need to make. So
that's for sure.
I've had friends come to me and say, I need to start a blog, or I want to start a podcast, or I want to do all these things, but I need to have a web presence and I need to be able to do it, but I don't know nothing about creating no website. And I say, well, then you should just get a Squarespace thing. Well, what about hosting? Well, no, that's part of it. Oh, well, what about my domain? Don't worry. They got that. You can do that. Like, all the stuff you need to have done to get your site up and going is there. They also have great support, great response time. All you need to know is that Squarespace.com is there for you. And here's how they're there for you. They're going to give you a free trial, and you don't have to put your credit card in. You don't have to do any of that crap. You just start an account, start building the site, see what you think, use the tools, which are always improving. They're always releasing new versions of everything. It's always, always better, always growing, always good. And if you like it, if it turns out you like it, and I know you will, use the code MORNING9 at checkout. And that'll save you some money. That'll save you 20%, by the way. 20%
off. That's a hell of a deal. And that's better than the average deal. Like, you know, if you would have tried this a month ago, that this code would have worked, you would have gotten 10%. Now, September only, you get 20%. So do it.
20%. That's at squarespace.com, code MORNING9. And we really, really appreciate their support and their help on the show. All right, where's my thing?
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
FilmSack.com, where bad movies have no idea what's coming. This week, Tomb Raider. Whoa. Subscribe today at FilmSack.com.
We had a good time with that.
Yeah, we did.
I did. I mean, I can only speak me, but...
And it's if you take it as just kind of a fluffy movie, like just popcorn loaded with saturated fat and butter, if that's all you're looking for in a film, Tomb Raider, you can't go wrong.
No, I completely agree. So does Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, that's her right there.
Yep. FilmSack.com. Go check it out. We had a ball. Me, Brian, and Randy.
That was almost the beginning of a Marissa Meyer laugh.
Almost, dude. Like, you keep going. Ooh, let's do a comparison. All right, so here's her. All right, now if she was who we think she is.
Yeah.
Whoops, that's not it. No, that's not it.
Oh, that's very good.
Wait, where am I? Oh, here it is. I found it. Yeah, see? It could have just kept going. Oh my gosh, dude. You forget.
You know, totally you do. It's like you forget what it sounds like until you hear it again. It's like, wow.
That's really crazy.
She's in charge of a big company.
Huge one. And their numbers are up. Like, they're actually accomplishing what they set out to do. It's pretty impressive, despite the laugh. It's her. She's the Death Star, and this is her place where you can shoot the two missiles. That's all. everyone has it.
Achilles laugh.
Yeah, everyone has it. Her and Bezos share the same little hole for Luke to shoot the things in. It's the same. That sounds so wrong. Insidious 2.
Yeah.
Brian Dunaway went and saw that and really liked it. Critics, not so much. Critics are not loving it. In fact, I should probably check in. Let's check in with Rotten Tomatoes. Beep, 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 beep. We go over now to Rotten Tomatoes. This just in. Oh, come on, Tab. Hurry up. Here we go. Insidious 2, Chapter 2, it's called, is only 38% currently on the Rotten of the Tomatoes.
Wow.
But man, Lee Daniels the butler is way down to fourth.
Butler's the Daniel.
Insidious Chapter 2 at number 1, made a bunch of money. The Family number 2, and in third, Riddick, which I still want to see.
Oh, The Family, that's the Robert De Niro deal.
I think so.
He plays an ex-mob boss. Wow, way to branch out, De Niro. Yeah,
geez, way to play against type.
Bobby.
Yeah, who else is in this?
Michelle Pfeiffer, isn't she?
This is a Luc Besson movie? That kind of makes me interested suddenly. No, it's Michelle Pfeiffer, you're right. Mm-hmm. So it's despite the best efforts of Agent Stansfield, paid by Tommy Lee Jones, to keep them in line. I don't care. Robert De Niro and his wife, Maggie, played by Michelle Pfeiffer, and their children, played by Deanna Argon and Warren, played by John DeLeo, can't help but revert to old habits and blow their cover by handling their problems the family way.
Oh,
I think De Niro's hair looks badass in that cover, though. I like him with long hair. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Tommy Lee Jones was told that the ratings weren't very good, and he said, I don't care. Insidious 2 did really well, 41 point something million. Number 2 debut in September of all time.
All time?
Brian, all time.
Wow.
Think about that. The Film District release. Film District? Sounds like a place to go see the movie. Proving.
Is that the movie company?
I assume that's the producers, I guess.
Never even heard of the Film District.
The Film District. I mean, we literally go to a place called The District to see films here. So that's weird. Anyway, proving another resounding victory for the horror genre, as well as producer Jason Blum, nearly matched the 41.9 million opening of New Line's 2013 summer hit, The Conjuring. So that was the other number one thing.
Yeah, the other franchise, the other horror deal.
Current record,
I haven't seen any of these.
Record holder, I guess, is Hotel Transylvania currently for the whole month. So we'll see if it can do it. Yeah, I haven't seen any of this stuff. I don't mind a good horror movie. I just, are PG-13 horror movies any good? Like, I don't know how that's going now. How is that going, everybody?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Chat room, how do you guys feel?
It's really PG-13?
Yeah, Insidious 2? I think so.
No.
Isn't it? Am I wrong? I could be wrong. A lot of these are, though. Remember back when The Ring was a thing? That was PG-13.
That was not. It couldn't have been, really.
Yeah. Is it just, I think we can push.
This seems crazy.
All right, let's look it up. Insidious 2, rated PG-13.
Whoa.
There it is.
All right. The Conjuring. Where do you see ratings? Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Conjuring. See,
I didn't realize. I thought that was the whole point, is that, you know, you go there to have the crap scared out of you, and that gives you that R rating.
Conjuring. This one is. That also had Patrick Wilson.
Oh, there it is. That's an R. Conjuring is an R.
Oh, yeah. The Conjuring is an R. Yep, you're right about that. That is the same dude in it.
Patrick Wilson was in both?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Insidious.
What's going on with Patrick Wilson?
Oh, that's... and he's the owl in Watchmen.
He sure is.
Yeah.
I like him.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he's found his groove. And that got 86%. You know, whatever. Maybe we're missing out, Brian. Maybe this new wave of horror movies, we're behind the times. Let's get on that, no, I guess.
Paranormal Activities. Those were R, weren't they?
They were definitely, I want to say, R.
Yeah.
And the Saw movies were R.
I haven't seen any of them.
Yeah, but I feel like something in my head says, I read somewhere that filmmakers have a certain magic number when it comes to fall, and Halloween or horror movies that are rated PG-13 make more money.
Oh, sure.
That there's a
right.
money thing going on there.
Send the kids out. Yeah, Blair Witch was our.
The teenagers come to mom and dad. Mom, I want to go to a movie with my friend. What is it? It's The Conjuring. What rating is it? PG-13. Okay, go. We'll see you. Mm-hmm. That's why. Miss America? Mm-hmm. She's still a threat. Yesterday airing during Breaking Bad, which I still haven't seen, so shut up. Shut up about it. Not just you, everyone.
Whoa.
Just everyone, just shut up. I hear it's amazing. I can't wait. I got to download it this morning. Was Aaron Paul just pulling my leg on Twitter, though? I regret following him because he's saying a bunch of spoilery sounding things.
Really? Like what? What's he saying?
Well, I don't want to say this out loud because maybe I'm right. Okay, this is just me guessing, you guys. I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know. And other people are telling me Aaron Paul's making it up, okay?
Okay. All right.
He didn't die last night, did he?
His Aaron
character?
Paul?
No, his character, Jesse.
I'm not going to say.
Oh, shit.
Well, because, you know, if I say he doesn't, then that's also spoilery. I'm not going to say he does because that's spoilery. So
fair enough. All right. Now, you have done right by the listeners by taking that stance.
Yeah.
I'm terrified about what. Because I've never heard such a reaction as I did last night.
AaronPaul_8 is his Twitter account. I'm going to follow him. Yeah. I'm curious as to what he says.
He's just said all kinds of things.
It's funny. It's like, holy, what is happening?
Yeah, like a lot of them are just stupid, but some of them...
Have an A1 day.
Yeah. And the A1 day one came right as the episode ended, which I have to think is ironic.
That's
or something.
Hilarious. And he can't spell. Who's loosing it right now instead of losing it?
Yeah,
come on
can't.
Now.
Come, well, he's from Idaho. He's like
who's
one of
loosing it, bitch?
He's loosing it. He's from 9 kids. He's like the youngest. What do you expect? Okay, right here, I got a little video for you. This is Miss America, okay?
Okay.
They crown their winner.
Miss America is New York.
Miss New York, Brian.
Miss America crowned its first winner of Indian descent Sunday night. And soon after the announcement, racist tweets flooded the internet.
What?
because at the beauty Indian. Pageant held in
she's African American. African American. Or Indian. Is she Indian?
Yeah, she's Miss New York and Indian American Nina Devaluri took home the crown and a $50,000 scholarship. Devaluri's victory sparked discussion online, mostly focused on her heritage. Miss America? You mean Miss 7-Eleven?
Oh, jeez.
That guy's name is Cheez-It. Let's see if I can read his...
tweeted.
They've cut it out. They've blurred his Twitter name. You should let that guy be out there and let him be raw. Let's let him...
But his name is Cheez-It?
Cheez-It. Cheez-It is the name, is his screen name, or his...
Well, I can tell you. I can tell you his...
Yeah, let's give him some hell right now. That's not nice. Mrs. 7-Eleven. That's rude.
That's really horrible.
It's kind of bad, man. Especially because I can't tell you the last time I ever... you know what? That stereotype doesn't exist for me. I've never been into a 7-Eleven where an Indian guy was working there, ever. Not once. They're always ugly, white trash like me. That's who's in there.
Yeah.
All right. Cheese.
I'm not seeing.
Okay. Cheese it. There's a lot of talk about actual Cheez-Its.
Right. Exactly. What's Cheez-Its Twitter account?
Oh, well. That's weird.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. Congratulations, sure. Miss America. Apparently, that's the thing people still care about. So.
Oh, look. It's Cheesy G.
Ooh, they wear the bikinis now? I thought that was a thing they didn't do anymore.
So, all right, well, tell me this. What was the deal, Miss Utah, right? That said the crazy things? That was earlier this year.
Yeah, I thought that was only a couple months ago. I want to say that was like a runner-up-y thing or a semifinals
or something like that, the regionals.
I think so, right? Miss USA, or was that Miss Universe? I don't even know. Who knows? Why are we still doing these? Why are we still doing these? And when these producers are sitting around going... You know what we ought to do? We ought to go up against Breaking Bad. That nobody watches that show. I think it'd be a great idea. Anyway.
Okay, so that's Miss USA.
What's the difference?
So there's a separate Miss USA versus a Miss America.
Okay, so what is the... Where, does one go on to do something else? Does one go on to make penthouse photos and the other one doesn't?
There's a throwback. I don't know. That seems really bizarre.
Ask your dirty uncle. I had a dirty uncle. Want to hear about my dirty uncle?
Do we?
He had an entire room full of porn. So you'd go to his house, he'd walk in.
The porn room.
Yeah. The room, just shelves of it and stacks of it, like a hoarder left it in there. That kind of stacking, that kind of stack stuff. So different like magazines stacked seriously as tall as my waist.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And he acted like it was no big deal. That room was never locked. We go there for Thanksgiving and me and my brother were like, you think they still have that room in there? And it was all vintagey, and I don't know, dude. It was weird.
Sure.
I had a weird uncle. Anyway, there you go. No names. No names. I'm not going to stick it out there.
But hair out to here.
All right. Tweaked Audio is sponsoring this show, and we love them for it. Tweaked Audio has been here since a very long time ago, and we hope they stay with us forever because we love them. We like backing stuff that is awesome where they back other people. I got a guy on Twitter said, has Tweaked Audio ever shipped anything? And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, I mean to the UK. Oh, well, yeah, of course they do. So if you live in the UK, don't worry. They'll take care of you. You live in Hoboken, New Jersey, and you your earbuds suddenly go, and you can't hear them. Well, what do you do? Well, you call them up, and they'll send you a new pair, and you'll have them before you can believe it. Chances are you're going to have trouble anyway. They're all engineered for durability, sounding great, noise reduction, and a lifetime warranty on all of it. Just use Stream at checkout for 33% off. That's Stream at checkout at tweakedaudio.com for 33% off your next set of audio earbuds. Brian, let's take a break. Play me a song. You're the piano man.
By the way, thanks to Rathan Workin, we found that Cheez-It's Twitter account is at JPLman95.
JPLman? What does that stand for?
Who knows?
JPL.
Well, unless he works for Jet Propulsion Laboratories.
JPLman95?
JPL man 95. Yep.
I bet he was born in 95.
Yep.
What? Oh, yeah. He's already getting all kinds of heat.
Yeah, you're no man.
Wow, he is taking all kinds of heat here.
Like, I was just joking. I also said I believe she was beautiful. People just can't take a joke.
Wow. Thank you. I believe in a united America. He says, I believe in a united America where race doesn't define us. But at the same time, I was joking about Miss America. Oh, well, then that's good. We're good. We're good. It totally makes sense to me then, you idiot. All right. Anyway, whatever. Look, I enjoy, as someone out there in the audience knows, his name might be Bronco. He might be huge. He could kill me if he wanted. I like stereotypes as much as the next guy. I like the funny ones. I like ones that I can enjoy and have a good time with. My Korean brother, cracker white people, Brian's bald head, whatever.
Sure.
We like to have some fun with things like this. But sometimes, it's just bad taste. Whatever. And it's the internet. What do they expect? You know what? This stuff used to happen in living rooms. Miss USA would get up. She was a color other than the white color you were. And you went under your breath. Well, hell, I made more like Miss 7-Eleven. And the only person that heard that was the dog and your mother-in-law in the other room. All right?
We never said anything like that. But people, there were people out there who did. And now they have a forum.
Now they have a way to do it publicly. And it all gets out there. And it gets loud and obnoxious. And there you have it. Yeah. Enjoy your time in the limelight because you're literally 18 years old, kid.
Right.
Because he was born in 95. Because his dumb, stupid name and everything else. Yes. Okay.
I said she was pretty.
Started thinking. Here's one of his really important tweets from 35 minutes ago.
Okay.
Started thinking terrorists are like crazy people. And it's the weather outside.
Of course, yeah, of course.
Whether it be a white, black, Christian, or Muslim. You're an idiot. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow. All right. People nowadays wear their feeling on their shoulders, and I can't take joke.
Wear their feeling on their shoulders.
Yeah. Make one... listen to this. Here's my favorite. Oh, my gosh. Hold on, everybody. Wait for this one. And regarding this controversy, his quote is this. Make one 7-Eleven joke and I'm called racist, LOL. It's not a 7-Eleven joke.
It's a racist joke.
It's not about the convenience store. Okay, I can't look at that guy anymore.
Wow.
And people like us, mature adults, get all worked up because this is the internet. This is how it works. Okay, Brian, song. What do you got?
All right, let's go to this one going out to Dave, who says, "Hey, Better Call and Saul. Although this may come in a bit late, I'd like to request a song for sometime around Sunday, September 15th, which is the 30th anniversary of being evicted from my first residence, my mother's womb. Last year, I was surprised in my birthday by seeing a combination of my two favorite things, Ohio State football and Star Trek, as the OSU band played the Star Trek theme and made an Enterprise on the field during halftime." Well, happy birthday, Dave. And okay, well, I tried actually to see if I could get a good quality recording of the Ohio State marching band playing that Star Trek Next Generation theme. I couldn't. So we're going to do the next best thing, which is Sean Cassidy.
Oh, perfect. Weird.
I had no idea this existed. So in Star Trek, the motion picture, there's this... the sweeping kind of romantic music that that plays during some of the space flight stuff. And it's actually called Ilea's theme. She's the
Ball chick. Okay, great. Yep, V'ger, yeah.
V'ger, exactly.
Right.
I did not realize that this says 1969. There's no way it's 1969. That after the movie was released, they released that song with lyrics. So weird. Sean Cassidy, who a lot of you 40 year and older women probably remember as the Tiger Beat cover boy for months, like he was on the Hardy Boys. He was the brother of David Cassidy. You know, he was like the Leif Garretts and the the Corys were in later years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's that thing. He's the Bieber of his time.
He was the Bieber of his time.
Sure.
Anyway, he recorded the lyrical version of the song. They released it on, I guess, a single, and it's called A Star Beyond Time, the love theme from Star Trek, the motion picture. Again, I had no idea this existed, but this is some great 80s, early 80s cheesy goodness. 1979, 80? When did
80, I think.
80?
Okay. I want to say 80.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm wrong, but I think that's right.
All 79, right. E. Kardashinsky says. But anyway, this was released right around there, 79, 80.
All
right. Sean Cassidy, A Star Beyond Time.
Here you go. I'll leave you with a poem from Cheez-It on Twitter. This is literally a poem. Here you go.
All right.
I've got boots and she's got wings. I'm hell on wheels and she's heavenly. That's supposed to rhyme with wings.
Wow. Okay.
I die for her, and she lives for me. Cowboys and angels. Holy shit.
Don't quit your minimum wage day job cheese.
Brilliant kid. Star beyond time. We'll see you guys on the other side with Steven Schleicher. Eric will be here and more. Stay tuned.
There's a star beyond time, floating in space, waiting for you and me. Though we're planets apart, love is the bridge joining our galaxies. Come with me, we'll conquer the unknown, where no one's ever flown, to one star.
Fireplace in the second house look like again?
Why trust it to memory when you can trust it to Polaroid instant pictures?
And a caveman.
I don't care. This is the morning stream.
And we're back. Got another brilliant tweet for you.
Okay.
This is again from Cheez It. I want to raise cattle, hogs, and chickens, which was followed up by, why does girls not like farming? I just want a farm girl. He's bad.
So I'm guessing that the JPL in his name does not stand for Jet Propulsion Laboratories.
Nope. I wouldn't think he'd even know what that is. Girls who will put a beer back with me. What does that even mean?
Put a beer, can I press you to a cucumber sandwich?
What is this even? Okay, here's a reply to somebody. Pooty shit, I've got some that would make Darth Vader choke. Darth Vader. Neil Young is a flamer.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm giving this guy
I guess he's a fan of the...
Oh, here you go, dude. Here, this explains it.
Skinner.
Don't touch my tools. Camaro or John Deere. I value them more than I value 98% of humanity.
Nice.
Camaro. I spelled it wrong. Camaro and John Deere.
No, that's how you spell Camaro. C-A-M-A-R-O.
He put an E in there.
Oh.
Don't touch my tools. Those aren't tools. Well, the John Deere, I suppose.
The John Deere, sure.
I've gone down a rabbit hole. This guy sucks.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm going to go back to putting offensive comments on people's YouTube videos.
He may as well be the "Do you even lift" guy. That's what this guy is. Okay. Why is AKMS47 kit not here yet? What the hell? I gotta get out. I'm done with him. Done. See ya. Bye. Bye.
I want to follow him just so I can unfollow him.
Yeah. I don't even dare do that. I'm not going in there. All right. Let's call Steven. Steven McSchleicher.
You're doing Steven first? Okay.
Yeah, why not? Because sure. It's time and he's there and we'd like to do it. Yeah. Steven, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Here's your theme. I use this for all sorts of things now. Steven, it's a pleasure as always to talk to you. You're not getting flooded there in Kansas, are you?
No, but we've had more rain than what we normally have for this time of year, so that's always good. But no, we're not suffering like many of the people up in Colorado. Brian, you're not dealing with all that, are you?
No, we're safe here.
Okay.
I mean, we're dealing with it. It's affecting me, but not... nothing nearly as bad as what's happening with other people. I mean, the flooding, the people displaced. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Boulder's just up the way. I mean, I see the videos of these roads washed out and these houses completely submerged and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I know exactly where those are. I mean, one of Tristan's friends is up Coal Creek Canyon, which again is even closer than Boulder. They can't leave the area. Tristan doesn't have school today because a good portion of students live up in Coal Creek Canyon, stranded. And there's no way for them to get out.
Yeah. My sister's down in Colorado Springs, and she said that the daycare's been closed several days there because of the flooding, too. So,
Is Colorado Springs or which one's the hippier place, that or Boulder?
Boulder's way
hippier. Boulder, hippier.
Oh, it's the other way, because Colorado Springs is the more conservative, like, bunch of Republican things going on there.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Such a weird deal. It is. All right. Well, it's good to have you here, Stephen. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Stephen is... purveyor of all things major spoilers at majorspoilers.com, one of my favorite destinations on the web. If you want to keep up on comic books and pop culture, by gum, he's got you covered. Let's talk about some of the big stuff of the last few days. This J.J. Abrams mystery project we talked about on this very segment is now revealed as something. What do we know about this now?
Yeah, it's actually, you know, some people may remember this very mysterious trailer of this guy coming out of the water and being chased by somebody with his lips all sewn up. Turns out that this is a book project, a very intense fictional book project that Abrams is involved with. And apparently, if you buy this book when it comes out, it comes with the novel, a novel within the novel, a bunch of handwritten notes that are included in here, a bunch of little bits and pieces of ephemera that readers can kind of go through as they're going through the book to kind of unlock what's going on. It's kind of a neat idea.
Stuff stuck in the pages and whatnot.
Yeah. Oh. But it's definitely not not any kind of video, television, or movie project.
Wow. Okay. Fair enough. This reminds me, I'm right in the middle of reading the Wool series. I don't know if anyone's heard of this. Started out as a small Amazon project, short story, and it took off like crazy. It's now been sold to 20th Century Fox. Director Ridley Scott is interested for a film adaptation. It's Hugh Howley wrote the thing. Somebody recommended it to me. I finally picked it up. I got the anthology or the omnibus version, which is like five books, I guess, I suppose. And the first one's the short story, and then they continue from there.
Does it make you scratchy when it gets wet?
Dude, it is so good. It is. I can see why everyone's flipping out. It's really good at world building and kind of creating this dystopic future that is beautifully done. I really, really like it. So first of all, number one, I want to recommend Wool, W-O-O-L, by Hugh Howley. You can get it Amazon, everywhere. It's whatever you need. And I think they now publish it by somebody else. Maybe not. Kindle, but you can get it on your Kindle and, you know, I think Apple thing and all that. But the second thing I wanted to say was, what was my second thing? Was it, whenever I hear about projects like this, like the one you're talking about, I mean, it's pure, there's no way this Abrams thing is purely a book thing. They're headed toward making a multi print, then book, then, or, you know, then something else, comics, then movie, right?
Yeah.
I think the movie and the book are, they're announcing the movie, aren't they? Like,
it's just
part of this?
S is what it is right now. From the press release that came out last week, it was just a book thing. And the bit that we saw was a trailer for the book. And that's not uncommon these days, is for publishers to create a full-on movie trailer for a book that's coming out soon.
Right. Well, it's interesting, and I want to kind of keep following it. But again, people, read Wool. Oh, my gosh, it's good. Really, really
check it out.
What a great – and it's that first bit, even if all you ever read was the original short story, It's short enough to just take it in real fast, and you'll be just left kind of gaping. I've never quite felt that way. And it's the first time where I went, yeah, you know what? Self-publishing on Kindle, this actually is a way to find people that would otherwise be ignored. Like, this is,
oh, yeah.
This guy is fantastic. What else is going on? Oh, man, we've got this comic sales in August that took kind of a dump. But how do you feel about the year overall? It seems like things have been all right.
Year overall is still pretty positive. I mean, comic sales, and this is in the direct market, so this doesn't count your Kindles. This doesn't count the stuff that you're picking up at your 7-Elevens or your Walmart.
No Comixology or any of that,
no
right?
Comixology. This is just your
Watch
local
you
comic
book
shop.
Watch what you say about 7-Eleven, Steven.
nice.
So sales are actually up 10% for the year compared to last year at this time. So January through August. Sales up 10%, even though month-to-month sales for the last, I think, 2 months have been down compared to the same time last year.
Hmm.
So still overall positive. I think some people are saying, well, is the fact that the sales are up simply due to, you know, cover prices getting hiked up? And that's not really the case, because not too many books are seeing a $4.99 hike. I think most of this is still slush from January, February, March, and the buildup to the to some of the big movies that were coming out this past summer that people were getting into the comic books with. So I think that's probably the biggest reason why we still have a surplus or a plus side for our sales.
But it does feel like on the whole, we're in a bit of an upswing for the industry generally, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah, but it also is kind of somewhat concerning, because if you remember back in the 90s, and I know you guys do, mm-hmm. with all the variant covers and the chromium covers and the bagged systems, we're seeing a lot of that happening again.
Yeah.
And there have been some people that have done some research. I don't know how valid it is, but they're going out and claiming it's because of all the variant covers. That's what's causing the boost in sales, because people can charge more for those variant covers, and that's what's offsetting every other sale that's going on is these variant covers. Now, we all saw what happened in the 90s when variant covers went out of control. The industry kind of imploded on itself. So I hope we're not seeing a repeat of that again.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it's not like we're at the number, even though things may be on the upswing, we're not back to the early 90s when Image launched and everyone frenzied on that. And, mm-hmm. and you know, things were kind of at a high point generally for the other publishers. So even at the peak of what we're seeing now, it still feels like there's a long way to go to get there. And if we're already hitting kind of a new bubble, just a smaller, shorter bubble, that seems
right.
bad in the long run. But
yeah, hopefully it doesn't go that way. But I mean, if you look at Brian, when you were at Dragon Con, and Scott, when you were at the Salt Lake City Con over the last couple of weeks, you know that there are more people than ever going to comic conventions and cosplay events and just events that tie into the comic book and pop culture industry. So I don't think we're going to hit a bubble where everything just falls in itself. There's still a huge fan base and a growing fan base that I think is going to keep this mode of entertainment going for a long, long time.
Well, and moreover, the one thing I came away from the con with the most was how active the Artist Alley area was.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they always are. I know. I realize that's a thing that everybody's doing, but I wasn't prepared for the congestion and lines that existed for artists that were just small-time, single-press, you know, dude mm-hmm. making a thing kind of artists. I mean, there were kids who don't have anything published that are just doing web comics here locally.
Oh, yeah.
Who had gobs of people crowded around them. I mean, that bodes well, I think.
What did I see that the Salt Lake City Convention is like the fourth largest convention already?
Yeah. So there's two records at play. One is the best opening for any new con, and they beat New York for that.
Right.
And that put them number one for that. And then fourth or fifth or something overall in terms of volume of people over the weekend for any
that's awesome
Comic-Con, which is crazy. Nobody expected that.
I think it's because they knew you were going to be there.
I guess. I mean, I did run into a ton of fans, which weirded me out. And then what weirded me out even more was how many I saw, and then how many later on Twitter said, we looked for you, we couldn't find you. I'm like, oh my gosh, really? Why didn't I booth at this thing?
You should have had a booth, yeah.
Oh, I'm such an idiot. I'm doing it next
year.
Well,
next year. Plan it for next
year.
I mean,
totally
that's
doing
how
it.
Quickly that convention has grown. I mean, that's amazing
yeah.
For the location. And I bet it's got a lot of people rethinking Las Vegas as a destination.
Yeah, two weird things happened. Well, one thing I think was a bit of a zeitgeist, which was, you know, Shatner and Adam West on stage at once, I think was a big draw.
Sure.
That was a huge deal. And we had a lot of good people come for that part of it. But Shatner said that Salt Lake City smelled weird.
Oh no, really?
Yeah. Now I can't figure that out, because I don't know if I've been in a cleaner smelling city. The actual city itself, downtown, does not. It's not a stinky town.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is there was some weird storm stuff going on, and we may have gotten a little lake effect. So when the Salt Lake blows air toward the city, which isn't very often, but when it does, you get a little eggy, right? Because the Salt Lake is just a big brine shrimp fest. I mean, sure. It's not a real lake. And so I think that may have been going on, but he had to get up on the thing and go, man, Salt Lake City smells like a fish. Or I was like, dude, you smell like a fish. Anyway, back to the point.
Yeah,
take that. Legend of Korra Book 2 has arrived. What do you guys think of that thing? I mean, this is a big deal, this Legend of Korra stuff.
I enjoyed the two episodes, although they didn't hook me as much as last season did.
Okay.
I don't know if you watched it, Brian.
I have no idea what the heck Legend of Korra is.
Well, it's a follow-up to the Avatar, right?
If you have not seen the first season, Brian, go and get it on iTunes or on the Netflix, and you sit down and watch it. It's like 12 episodes, something like that. It'll suck you in. It's got a great story, awesome animation.
Yeah.
For people that are fans of Airbender, Avatar the Last Airbender, this is kind of a sequel to that years later after Aang has died, and they are looking for the new Airbender. Season one was phenomenal. Season two is starting to look at religion and politics and how closely those are tied together.
Nice.
And it was interesting. I didn't think the first two episodes were as great as last season, but I sat down to watch it. My oldest son sat down to watch it. My wife sat down to watch it, and we really enjoyed the heck out of it.
Now, do I need to know anything about the first Last Airbender?
No, not really, because they kind of explain everything. I've only seen maybe three or four of the original Airbender episodes, but
they're worth seeing too, though. Just for the record.
I would say, don't watch the Shyamalan movie and use that as your point of reference.
Avoid that like the plague that it is. It's terrible. Don't do that. But the original series is really good. I can jump into Legend of Korra
without knowing any of that stuff.
Yep. They pretty much explain it and walk you through.
Do they have a big flying dog in it again? Is that a thing?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
The water yak or whatever it is.
They got the little space monkey running around with them too?
There is one that appeared in the second season.
Okay. I'm down with that. It's fine. Bring some of that stuff back.
Great animation and a super strong female character that people can get behind too.
Yeah, and there's a huge following for this stuff. People love these stories. So you really should watch some of that stuff, Brian. I think you'd love it.
I haven't seen any
of the Korra stuff. I'm only speaking the Airbender, which I thought was amazing. So it's just a matter of getting caught up. I think some of it's on Netflix, right? I think it is.
That's what I said. I think it's either on Netflix. We've bought the seasons on iTunes.
Yeah.
And it's really good.
All right. Well, there you have it. One last note here. I didn't put it in the notes, but I wanted to at least touch on it. We've talked about it on other shows. We've talked about it here, but I want to get your take on Saul, the lawyer from Breaking Bad, getting his own show called Better Call Saul. How you feel about that? Are you excited about that idea?
Well, I'm almost to the end of season three, so I'm okay with it.
Well, I think you'll be more okay with it the further you get.
Yeah, and I kind of know what happens because, people tell me what happens.
Sure. You're heading toward the best season of the show. Four is amazing.
Yeah, I hope so, because three was the season when it originally ran is where I stopped watching it.
Yeah. Justin Robert Young and I did a spoiler cast on this the other day, and I got to say, he doesn't like season three much because he doesn't like the Terminator twins. I liked those guys.
I like those guys too. Yeah.
I think that was great. He didn't like it because he felt like it was an X-Files episode that Vince Gilligan found in his pants and decided to go ahead and use. But I don't agree. I think those guys are kind of cool. And three has got some hard-hitting business in it. But man, holy crap, four is explosive.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Yeah. I'm three episodes away from the end of season three. Yeah. So
you're going to love it. I can't wait till you catch up. It'll be fun to talk about it when you get on the other side.
Definitely.
Is season three the one with the pink teddy bear?
Yeah.
No, that was the end of it was the end of season two is where
you're right.
All
carried
that stuff
over
happened.
Though, kind of right? Yeah. Didn't it a little bit? Mm-hmm. I think so. Mm-hmm. And then also, don't forget, Q is in season three.
Yep.
As the flight dude. And what else? There's some rough stuff in three, but I like three a lot. Whatever. That show's one of the best shows ever made. So if you want to learn about that and so many more things over there on the majorspoilers.com, that's all you have to do. Go to majorspoilers.com. Steven, anything else in the pipe?
Oh, not at the moment. Everybody should head over there and watch the skies.
Whoa, what? Hello. It's great.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
More rain for those of us in western Kansas and Colorado. Oh, so. And apparently down in Arizona, too. So
you got me really excited all of a sudden.
I was thinking that was a spoiler right there.
Also, the Major Spoilers podcast is amazing. There are many more to be found there as well. So please, with all haste, go to majorspoilers.com and enjoy yourself. Steven Schleicher, we'll see you next time.
All right, guys. Take care.
Bye.
See you, Steven.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, there we go. All right, I think Garrick's in order now.
You think so? Think he's got his crap together?
He might. He's got his he's finally got his ducks in a row, as the kids say. Hold on, I have a theme for him, you know. It's iconic. Here it is, right here. Whoops. Right here, everybody. Oh yeah. Hold on to your butts.
App slappy.
Hey everybody, check it out. It's Eric from App Slappy, or what used to be App Slappy now is Eric's App Review here on the morning stream every Monday. Eric, good morning.
It's App Slappy Light.
Yeah, App Slappy Junior, you like to call it. Lil App Slappy is another way to put
Lil
it.
Lil App. Yeah, there you go.
So,
little slap.
Dude, how fun. I really like Flex Rating. Don't you like it?
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Oh my gosh. He ran with us last night. It was me and Eric and Brian and a ton of other people and, well, 18 of us. It's not a ton, but it was good. And you know what? I hate to say it, or maybe I do like to say it, but I kind of like Mumble over Vent.
The quality is amazing.
Yeah. Much better. You know, it's hard when something's so steeped into gaming culture like Vent that you have to move to something else, but it made me wish that we were all done with that transition and everybody was using Vent or using Mumble all the time. It was really, really good. Totally impressed. First time I'd really used it in any kind of earnest yesterday. It's Eric. It's Akito. How's your album coming? You ready? Good?
I uploaded it last night, so it should be on iTunes Live probably Tuesday or Wednesday morning.
Nice. I have a question about that. Do you send these finished as authored ACCs or MP3s to them, or do they do that from your raw lossless files?
I send 16-bit 44 WAV files to TuneCore.
Okay, so you send raw ass material and then they do whatever they do to prep them for.
Well, actually, when I work in 24-bit 44, so I have to take them down to 16.
How big are those files when you make them when you're doing the raw stuff?
They're like 50 megs for like a 5-minute song,
good,
I think.
Good lord, man.
Yeah.
Just imagine that on Napster back in the day, 98 on my dial up modem. Wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, but nowadays, that's like. It's like nothing.
No, it's no problem. It's no big deal. I download 14 gigabyte games in a couple hours now.
I'm pretty excited. You should check out kind of a newish track. I put it in your Dropbox.
Oh, you did?
Last night.
You should play it real quick. Hold on. Let's preview it.
It's number 7 Lost, is it?
Is it? Okay, hold on. Eric Stuff, Shattered, number 7. Oh, 8 Lost or 7 Singularity?
8.
8. 8. Okay, so this one features Jack from Lost. Hold on here. Here we go.
Oh.
Well, that's Daryl. That's not you. Okay, here you go. Ooh, dude. Do you have ecstasy, or what are we doing here? We got a little bit of...
we'll stick.
Wait. I've traveled down life's road. That, huh?
That's pretty good. Who is that? Who's doing that?
That's the guy from Thix that I've been working with, THYX.
Oh, I was hoping it was you.
Wow.
That would have been awesome.
I wish I had a voice like that.
Oh, that's really cool, dude. All right, I'm in. When's that coming out? We have a date yet?
I say Wednesday.
That's right. You already did say that. Cool. We'll look forward to it.
Short-term memory.
Short-term memory segment is what we like to call this one. Let's get back to an app here. So you come on the show, you have an app, something you like, oftentimes iOS, well, always iOS. Sometimes it ends up on Android. But let's talk about what it is anyway and see where it lands. What do you got?
This app I'm reviewing is called Pick, Play, Post.
Pick, Play, Post.
Pick, Play, Post.
Pick, Play,
okay,
Post.
So
just keep saying it.
Pick, Play, Post.
All right, thanks for coming on.
Thanks, man.
There
Appreciate
you go.
It. There's
That's
the game.
My review. Uh-huh. I gave it 5 stars.
Great.
Just based on the name itself.
Okay. It's a pretty good name, I have to say. It's fun to say.
So what this app is, do you know what Diptych is?
Diptych.
No.
No, that's not familiar to me at all.
That's the app you use that like gives you like 3 windows or borders. You can put like 3 photos or 4 photos.
Oh, so if you're doing an Instagram, instead of just 1 shot, you can put 4 in a grid and post it there.
Yeah.
Okay.
You used it before. Okay. I think you did.
Maybe I have. My daughter does. I don't think I do.
Yeah. A couple of years ago was all the rage is doing that Diptych like border stuff.
Right.
But this, the cool thing about this, does the same thing, but it actually lets you put videos.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Okay. For apps like Instagram or whatever.
Yeah, well, it can. Yeah, you can put it in Instagram. Actually, I put one just to test out on Instagram. I think yesterday or a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what's cool about it? So you could have like one frame, just a picture, another frame, a video, and another frame of a picture type of thing.
Yeah.
So because it's kind of like a cool little collage of the moments of that video, maybe, or of the, your day at the park or something with some video in it.
Let's see. I'm looking. I'm trying to find your Instagram here. Come on. Why aren't you coming up? What are you? You're Hot Keto, right?
Yeah.
Well, what the H? All right, hold on. I forget how you find people. Oh, yeah. hold on. I want to find this. Oh, there you are. The first guy to come up. Okay, so there's a two-layer one.
Yeah.
And the bottom one's just a photo?
Well, I just wait.
Okay, I'm watching. I'm waiting for it. This is bowling. Okay. Oh. You can still do those things at bowling alleys where you have the slide? That's rad.
The kids thing, yeah. So that's what's cool is, yeah, the thing is you could actually have the videos play the exact same time, or you can have it play sequentially.
Oh, cool. Hmm.
So as soon as the video in the top left corner finishes, then it goes to the next one on the right. And
exactly.
That's cool.
This is Eric, by the way, since we're just in here.
I got you now with me.
Don't wait again.
My favorite dialogue in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I win. I'll get you better next time.
I'll get you better next time.
Aww.
That is better than George Lucas's prequels. It's amazing. Anyway,
there's no. I didn't even tell him what to say. He just came up with that line himself.
So can the app do two videos or four videos or whatever? Can it do it simultaneously though? Can it?
Yeah.
It can just play. Yeah, so, you don't have to do it in sequence like the way you did it. You could have it play simultaneously the whole time.
Exactly, and you can actually adjust the volume for each video, and you can put music with it. It has filters. It has
I want this app. This sounds awesome to me.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's cool. And it really only is an advantage to Instagram now that you can upload video to Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's why it's – and I saw this son and I was like, wow, that's kind of cool because a guy I saw posted like did some dance like had a shot of a dancer or something, but it had two stills on the top and the bottom and then the video in the middle. It was kind of a cool little thing.
Yeah, well, I'm digging it.
So I hunted it down.
Cool, nice pick. How many? Let's see. How many bad American Indian jokes would you give it?
Just the guy you were talking about,
or how many culverts? Yeah,
Cheez-Its.
Yeah, the Cheez-Its guy.
What is with you and those type of people?
I love these people. I don't know.
It's
them.
Like
when you're
in the Jersey Shore. You couldn't get enough of it.
I don't know, dude. I think it's because I feel like they're alien to me. Like when people talk this way, yeah. I feel like I'm in a different world. And I think that's why it intrigues me. So when I see, you know, Snooki walking down the street with a poodle in one arm and her dumb high heels and drunk or whatever, I just look at that and go, I don't know what that is. What is that? So it fascinates me. I am fascinated by bad human behavior. What are you going to do? That's why I like reality TV shows where there's lots of humiliation. Because again, what they're showcasing just the weird, like hoarders. I don't like hoarders because I'm very concerned about the state of people who are unable to eliminate items from their lives and slowly deteriorate. That who cares? I like those shows because I'm like, who is that and how is this happening? How did they get to a place where every newspaper since 1964 needs to be in the living room? That's fascinating to me. How do they not know their cat died and is now under that...
buried underneath the...
There's a guy who's collecting Blizzard point-of-sale displays in his office.
Yeah, that guy. Oh, wait. Crap. I know that guy. No, I get that's all. I actually need all that. That's for something. That's for a very specific thing. But
what? Are you opening a Blizzard store?
No, it's for that. I'm building a set. When I get to this new space, I'm building a set for the Instance TV, and I want to have a bunch of Blizzard paraphernalia so I can put it all in the background. That's literally the reason I'm doing that. So
is
it's
that
not
why you need a new house? Because you need a studio? You're just getting too big?
Two reasons. You guys want to hear my two reasons? Here they are.
Yes.
I may have told one of these on the show already, but. Well, there are three main reasons. One, closer to town, so we want to be closer to the city. We'll be 15 minutes away instead of an hour.
No, you want to be closer to your your daughter.
That too, yeah. That's a bonus because she's right there in town. So that'd be nice. But also, there are some people who I'm going to have start working with me on some production sides of things who live right down in that area, so it'll be a lot more convenient. So that's another reason. So maybe there's four reasons. But here are the major two reasons. One is we have 7 bedrooms in my house now. That's too many bedrooms. We have 2 kids, right? Mm-hmm. One's moved out. We have 2 children and me and Kim. We need 3 bedrooms. We have 7. It's ridiculous. It's wasted space. So we're moving to a place that has the exact same square footage, but the distribution of space is totally different. So there are only 3 bedrooms, but this huge space for me to build out my studio in. So that's probably the biggest major reason. And the other is just that we've been here 9 years and we got tons of equity and it's time to make a change and we can afford to do it because of that. Yeah. So there you go.
You should go like the Totally Rad Show route and just do a big, huge green screen.
And just cancel my show.
Not that route.
Just stop making it.
Not the whole TRS route.
Yeah, don't go that all the way there. Yeah.
The green screen. Remember they just had the big, huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they filmed it in someone's garage or something.
Yeah, that you could put anything back behind you that you wanted.
Well, this place will have a green screen. And
oh, will it?
Yeah, but I'm a big fan of practical effects and sets, so I still like the idea of some of what I'll do will be the other way. But there'll be some green screen love. Don't worry. I got it. For all the porn work I'm going to do, there'll be a green screen there for that.
you do need special effects for that, Scott.
Yeah, people wondering why everyone seems to be worried that it's like why are you moving? And that includes internet and local friends. I'm like, no, it's
just
time.
Seemed like it came out of nowhere. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm selling my house, guys.
No, for about the last year and a half, we've been kind of toying with it. We just finally found the right deal, the right timing, the right loan based on equity because we put enough down on this house in 9 years to kind of make it make sense and all that stuff.
So are you selling your house being sold or
it's being shown and negotiated and people are
bidding on it?
Oh yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff
going on. Oh, that's great.
There's a war on right now.
That's good.
Yeah.
A bidding war. Wars
are good. It's good.
Someone's gonna get hurt. Anyway, all right. So wait, you never told me how many Mexican or bad 7-Eleven jokes you're gonna give it. How many Mexicans you're gonna give it? All right, wait. I'll go back to something totally non-volatile. Let's say how many water-filled culverts are you gonna give it?
There we go. Much better.
I give it 5.
5 culverts. Yeah. Jeez, that's pretty good. All right. I don't think you've given a 5-star since you've been on doing this.
Nah, but this one, like with the everything you can do and the control and the filters and it's pretty cool.
All right, I'm gonna check it out. How much again? What's the price?
$1.99.
Totally worth it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's $2 in the grand scheme of things, folks? Nothing, I say. The only thing I don't like about moving is we just bought that fridge. Now we got to leave it. That's part of the
can't
deal.
You take it? Oh, you're going to leave it with the house.
Well, because the other one's getting the one we want. They'll leave theirs, so it makes sense to just not move a fridge, and they have a real nice new one too. So true. It's like, what's the point? But I don't know. Whatever. This stuff's a pain. I can't wait till I'm done. That's all I can say. We want to be. Yeah, we would love to be done and moved before BlizzCon, if at all possible. That's
so what part are you moving to?
It's an area called Daybreak. It's out near. It's like an area called South Jordan. That's the city technically. It's about, oh geez, you know the movie theater for Nerdtacular 2010 that you were at?
Yep.
The big one there. That's literally like across the highway. It's like I could ride my bike there and be there in 10 minutes or something. Hmm. So it's real close to like a ton of stuff.
Oh, that's a nice area.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice over there. So it's growing. And
closer to
everything. And there's a track station, which is our transit public light rail thing that we have here that poops out right before where that whole thing starts. So my daughter, who literally lives across the street from a track station, could be down to see us in like 4 stops without driving a car. And we can go see her that way too. So yeah, lots of good stuff that way. More on that as we get closer, everybody. But for now, I'm going crazy. Eric, he's Hakito on Twitter. Hakito, follow him on Twitter. You can also find his new album coming soon, probably Wednesday. We'll make sure to announce it on the show, so don't worry about that. We'll make sure to let you know. And that's it. Eric.
Yeah.
Have a fantastic day.
Thank you.
All right.
See you, Eric.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. I watched a little bit of the video from Nerdtacular 2013, and it was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to hit you up for the audio for Coverville 1000 coming up in about 10 episodes. Ooh, for all the audio.
Fancy.
Yes.
All right, emails. Let's do emails. They're brought to you by...
Okay. The Final Score, the video game podcast for the rest of us, where Nicole, Brian, and Scott talk about the games of today, tomorrow, and yesterday, but not necessarily in that order. Subscribe at finalscoreshow.com today.
Hey, Sesame and Betal. What's that? B-E-T-A-L.
B-E-T-A-L. I don't know.
It must be a herb or something.
Herb. Yeah.
You say herb or herb?
I say herb.
All right.
I say it the right way.
Randy's wrong.
Yeah, Randy's wrong.
He was wrong then. He's wrong now.
Exactly.
In episode 478, during What's a Foodie segment, you were all talking about how obviously named products contain nuts.
Yes, like the bag of nuts we were eating.
Yeah,
yes.
may contain nuts. Really? I work for a grocery store, and one of the questions I tend to get at least daily is, does this contain nuts or peanuts? Sadly, even though most packages list what they have, some of the obvious products I get asked about are Snickers bars, Reese's cups, peanut butter, and peanut butter-covered caramel nougat candy bars we carry seasonally called Nut Logs. And they still ask, are there nuts or peanuts in that? At first, I thought they were kidding with stuff that was so obvious, but they were being very serious and did not appreciate my laughing at what I thought was them joking. Despite the fact that the show doesn't contain proper warning labels, I still love the show, Ryan.
That's the perfect example of a nut job.
Yeah, exactly. And look, if I went into a store and literally said to a store clerk, does this peanut butter contain nuts? You have the right to punch me in the face.
Right, exactly.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Nobody makes peanut butter without peanuts in it.
There's no...
Is there a fake peanut butter somewhere?
Faux peanut butter?
No. There's like... What's the chocolate crap?
Soy nut butter.
Sure, but that says that on it. Mm-hmm. Or it doesn't even say nut, just says soy butter. Or
talking about Nutella?
Sure, but I mean, like, it's not like I go to the... I don't go to the store, grab almond milk and go, is there any dairy in this? You know, I know what it is.
Right.
It's little tiny people who pull on the teats of little almonds and make milk out of it.
I got nipples. Could you milk me?
Could you milk me? Got $50. All right, Alex. It's the same voice.
Yeah.
Alex wrote in. Regarding Miley and her video. You know the one. Yeah.
Wrecking Ball. Yes.
Yeah. I came in like a wrecking ball. That one. Mm-hmm. Not the other one, which is... we like to party! How's the rest go?
I like how you say, in the Miley voice.
Let's see. We like to party! Something with Miley!
I don't know that song at all.
Piece of shit!
I stopped after Party in the USA.
It was the only good one. Regarding Miley and her video, the reason why that... Ooh, gosh, I don't know if I can read that. I just realized how harsh
did
that
Did you not
sounds.
Read this when you copied and pasted?
I did, but this sentence is kind of rough. You know what?
This is that a couple times in here.
I feel like... You know what? I'm going to read it because I'm a believer in... I'm a big believer in full disclosure, okay? I don't want to try to cover something up.
He's joking, obviously.
He says, the reason why... This is what voice should I do?
Do a Sopranos.
Listen, the reason why that slut of a vocal artist is naked on a demolition ball is because of one side effect. All women are whores. Jeez. Can they take the high road? Oh, yes, easily. However, since all women are trying to one-up each other and be art exhibitionists, they all want you to look at them. They want you to, let's see. If they get you to talk about them, or even for even half a second, or even look at them, their mission is accomplished. All women are whores. All of them. That's why she's licking the hammer, says Alex.
Sign, cheese it.
Yeah. Now, I'm not sure Alex is being jokey.
He's
I think he might be serious.
Absolutely joking. I think you picked the wrong voice. I think you needed to do like a Polly Walnuts. The reason why that slut of a vocal artist is naked on a demolition ball... Actually, it was more of a Peter Griffin, wasn't it? Not
less it's turning into one. It went from, first you were Cliff Clavin, and it really got quickly to Peter Griffin.
Hey, you know what, Carla? The reason why that slut of a vocal artist is naked on a demolition ball is because of one simple fact. All women are whores.
That's totally it. None of us think any of these things that are being said, and I don't know if he's kidding or not, but the show neither endorses nor... supports this sort of behavior. All right. That's it. Let's leave on that note. I want to thank everybody out there.
And I'm not going to do it, but
that was pretty good, dude. That was pretty good. You just throw a normie in there and you're set.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you for listening at home. Thank you, everybody, who helps us out. You want to find links to everything we got going on, go to frogpants.com/TMS or toss us an email, themorningstream@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. You can find me at Scott Johnson, Brian at Coverville, and the show at Morning Stream. Brian, let's get out of here. You got a song for me, maybe?
I do. We'll wash our ears of the earlier Sean Cassidy travesty that I played. This one's going out to Acme. Acme. A-K-H-E-R-M-Y. Right. Dear Samwise and Bilbo, on September 15th, I'll become an adult in Hobbit years. To celebrate in halfling form, I'd like to request a song for my partner and my best friend, Andy, who listens while he drives to work each day while I stay home and try not to be the worst housewife ever. Even though the decision for me to stay home is difficult for me, the outcome for our children does not compare, and he listens to my whining as a new school year starts and I'm not in school.
Yeah.
When I realize what I have, it's pretty awesome. I get to care for a toddler and play, thanks to TMS, lots and lots of Animal Crossing. So to Andy, I love you and thanks for changing my life. I could not think of a better person to be with for the next 80 years or so. Yada, yada, yada.
80 years, yada, yada, yada. That's great.
Thanks for all you guys do. It gives me some semi-adult time as I'm alone with children most of the day. I get a good laugh and get some stuff done as well. What? I skipped the best part? I mentioned the Animal Crossing. Despite my toddler learning new swear words from Jury, just kidding, show the froyo, Acme. Yeah. Acme.
Nice. Hot pile of hot garbage is my favorite thing that Jerry ever says.
So Ackerman mentioned that some of Vandy's favorite music are things like Tori Amos and Aretha Franklin,
Joan Baez.
Joan Baez.
All right.
So I decided, actually, let's play a little Aretha Franklin cover. This was a song originally written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David. Performed most famously probably by Dionne Warwick and Aretha Franklin separately, and featured very prominently in the film My Best Friend's Wedding, but not like this. This is a group called the Boss Hoss, which is, if you imagine Hayseed Dixie, which is a band that kind of does bluegrassy country covers of rock songs, these guys take it one step further and are kind of more in the entrenched in the countrified sound. Right. This is great stuff. This is I Say a Little Prayer by the Boss Hoss.
Oh my gosh. Loved it. All right. I don't know if I don't feel like I'm prepared. So here goes. Let's get into it. Tomorrow we got new stuff. Jury, so tuck in because that one will take a while. Chin Beard will be here. And then more this week. All kinds of stuff going on. So stay tuned for all of that. Thank you, everybody, for listening. See you tomorrow.
When I wake up, before I pull my jeans up, I say a little prayer for you. While combing my hair now, and wondering what hat you wear now, I'll say a little prayer for you. Forever, ever, 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 you stay in my heart and I will love you. Forever, ever, 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 and never will part of how I love you. Together, 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 that's how it must be to live without you. Would only be heartbreak for me. I run for my horse, dear. We're riding our finger by steer. I say a little prayer for you. At work, I just take time. And all through my coffee break time, I say a little prayer for you.
love you. Rebel, 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 rebel. You never will part of how I love you. Together, that's how it must be to live without you. It'll only be heartbreak for me.
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Shut up, fool!